In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessing is the state of being which God desires for all people. We can see this demonstrated in the manner in which the scriptures both begin and end. In the beginning, God created and placed man into the Garden of Eden, and we're told that he did so with a blessing. We read in Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." This state of blessing was granted to Adam and Eve by God, and it enabled and empowered them to live in the garden under the commands of God. Now, similarly, the scriptures speak of blessing at the end of the biblical story. In Revelation 22, verse 14, we read, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gate." Those who dwell eternally with the Lord in paradise will do so because they are in a state of blessing, having received his gifts. And so the scriptures show us that blessing is the state of being which God desires for all people. However, our conception of blessing is not typically the same as God's manner of blessing. When we think of blessing, we usually have in mind prosperity in wealth or material goods. We think of blessing as owning a large home, driving a fancy car, having a large bank account, and never wanting for any material goods. We think of blessing as possessing good health, both in terms of a lack of sickness, but also in terms of the ability to physically do those things which we want to do. We think of blessing as emotional stability, experiencing joy and happiness rather than the perpetual anxiety and depression which plague so many. But God's manner of blessing does not typically match our conception of what blessing ought to be. See, to be blessed in the biblical sense is to be favored by God. We see this clearly in the preceding section of St. Luke's Gospel, where the angel Gabriel announces to the Virgin Mary that she will be the mother of the Messiah. The angel greets Mary with these words, "Rejoice, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And then he continues, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." See, the grace and favor of the Lord is upon Mary, not because of her own merit, but because of the Lord's gracious regard for her. So the blessing of God is not to grant humanity earthly blessings necessarily. The blessing of God is to look favorably upon us so that the kingdom of God comes among us. And the kingdom of God comes among us when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity, as the small catechism teaches us. And so, the Holy Spirit overshadows the Blessed Virgin Mary, and she is blessed through the working of faith in her heart. So blessing is intimately tied to faith in the fulfillment of God's promises, as we hear Elizabeth proclaim, "Blessed is the one who believed that that which was spoken from the Lord would be fulfilled." Blessing and faith are intimately tied together. And this is because blessing and faith both find their source in the same place. Blessing and faith find their source in the Word of God. Elizabeth says of Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." What is it that grants this blessing unto Mary? Well, it is the Word of God implanted in her which grants this blessing. And the etymology of the word translated twice in verse 42 as blessed demonstrates this. The word used to discuss the state of being blessed in verse 45 that we just read is the word makarios. It describes a state of being. However, the word that Elizabeth uses twice in verse 42 is a different word. It is the word eulogeo, from which we get our English word eulogy. And this word eulogeo shares a verbal root with the word we discussed a week ago, homologeo. Logeo, the root, means to speak a word. The prefix eu, that is eu, denotes something good. Therefore, eulogeo literally means to speak a good word. St. Mary is blessed, then, because of the good word of God, which has been spoken to her and indeed which has been implanted in her. The angel Gabriel spoke God's word to Mary, and this word worked faith in her. And now, in an extraordinary manner, the word of God has been implanted in the Blessed Virgin Mary, both in her heart, but more significantly for us, the word of God has been implanted in her womb. The eternal word of God, the second person of the Godhead, has entered into the womb of the Blessed Virgin and joined himself for all eternity to the flesh of Mary's offspring. The eternal Word of God, who has become the God-man Jesus Christ, is the source of both faith and blessing for mankind. Therefore, the Word which comes forth from Mary accomplishes great things. And Mary's song, the Magnificat, reveals for us the manner in which this Word is received by us as a blessing. And so St. Mary's words in the Magnificat teach us that only he who humbly believes God's word will be blessed. And so in a very real sense, humility is the key and is at the center of what it means to be blessed by God. Pride, of course, is the antithesis of humility. However, we would be mistaken if we thought of pride as a temptation. Pride is not a temptation to drift away from humility as if the base disposition of humanity was humility. No, pride is the natural disposition of fallen man. We are not people who naturally submit ourselves to God humbly. We are naturally prideful, self-entitled, and arrogant. Because of our sinful nature, we naturally believe that we know what is best and that our ways are better than anyone else's. We constantly take pride in our own accomplishments or what our loved ones have accomplished. We live in a culture which constantly encourages us to take pride in who we are. But the Magnificat offers warnings against pride. The Lord has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. To those who live in pride and refuse to submit to his ways, the Lord gives what they desire. He resigns them to their own delusions, wherein they will perish eternally if they do not turn to him and repent. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. See, there is only one king, and his name is Jesus. All who refuse to yield to him will be cast down eternally. And the rich he has sent empty away. Those who believe that they have everything will discover in the end that they actually have nothing apart from the gracious gifts of the Lord. And so one way or another, the proud will be humbled. The question is, will this humbling bring about repentance, or will it come when it's too late? But the one who does humbly believe in God's word is assured of blessing. Humility is not the natural state of fallen man. As we have said, we are naturally disposed toward pride. And so because we cannot do anything to merit God's gracious blessing, because we are naturally disposed toward pride, we might feel helpless in the Christian life of repentance. But even though God's blessing, our faith, and even a disposition toward humility are all gifts of God, that does not mean that there is nothing that we can do to cultivate these gifts. The blessing finds its source in the Word of God. So if we desire to be people of faith, if we desire to be people who are blessed by God, we must allow His Word to work on our hearts and minds. We must not approach God's word in a prideful manner, assuming that we know everything about it, no matter how many times we have read it. We must allow God's word to humble us. We must resist the urge to argue with the scriptures or to dismiss them because they conflict with our own preconceptions. We must humbly accept God's word as it is, and in so doing, we will be blessed. The Magnificat offers this consolation for the humble. The Lord has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. See, the Lord's servant is more than a servant. Though we are lowly in this position compared to the greatness of the Lord, he looks on us with favor. The Lord sees in you the righteousness of Christ, so that nothing could separate you from his love. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. See, the fear of the Lord is not only the beginning of wisdom, it is also the beginning of mercy and blessing. The Lord has exalted the lowly. Those who can see no worth in themselves, and indeed those who have no worth in themselves, are given worth by the Lord. He has filled the hungry with good things. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled with the goodness of the Lord for all eternity. Only he who humbly believes God's word will be blessed, because true blessing is only found through faith in the Son of Mary. The world promises blessing, prosperity, and happiness through any number of means, but true and eternal blessing comes only through our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who sets aside his own pride and by faith humbly receives the free gift of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord, will be blessed unto eternal life. May our Lord keep us firm in his word and promises, so that our souls may be blessed and may magnify the Lord both now and eternally. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.